Welcome to No Longer Conformed, where we're looking at the book of Acts. In this session, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 13, verses 4 through 12, hindrance in Cyprus. When you respond to God's call in ministry, you don't know where it will take you. One thing is certain for every Christian who seriously seeks to serve the Lord and fulfill His ministry calling. You will be met with much hindrance. Why? Well, because you're invading Satan's territory and he must mobilize to defend it. Barnabas and Saul responded to the ministry call of Christ, and they were immediately met with hindrance. First, look at the setting for the gospel in Acts chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Luke provides here a detailed account of their missionary journey beginning. The port of Seleucia is about 16 miles from Antioch on the mouth of the river Orontes at the Mediterranean Sea, and then a 60-mile sail to Cyprus. Barnabas was born on Cyprus. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Acts chapter 11, verse 19 and 20 indicate that there was already a witness on the island of Cyprus, and some members of the Antioch church were from there. Verses 19 and 20 of Acts 11. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. Cyprus was a Roman province run by a proconsul and administrator of sorts, Sergius Paulus. They landed at the port of Salamis, and the pattern that Paul followed all the time in his ministry was established. If synagogues were present, he began his witness in them, in the synagogues. That means there was a large Jewish population. We also first hear of John Mark as part of the missionary journey here. He was their helper. Second, look at the hindrance to the gospel. They traveled 90 miles across the island to Paphos. And there the hindrance was revealed. Look at verses 6 through 8. Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. They met two people, a seeker named Sergius Paulus and a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. The term sorcerer is a translation of magos. Magoi, the word that's translated wise men in the narrative of Jesus' birth, it usually describes a negative trait, like a trickster. How did the false prophet get in the entourage of a Roman proconsul? Well, the Romans were very superstitious, and the Jews were thought to have access to some kind of secret knowledge. The name Elymas means interpreter of dreams, I suppose. The hindrance, well, he withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So then the hindrance was removed. Look at verses 9 through 11. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Elymas quickly learned that he had taken on a very powerful opponent. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, turned and nailed the false prophet, son of the devil, full of deceit and fraud, enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? He had been tricking the proconsul, steering him away from the gospel message. And verse 11 shows that he might get away with taking advantage of the proconsul, but Elymas had engaged the Holy Spirit himself. Not cool. Look at Acts 5, verses 1 through 4. Remember, Ananias and Sapphira. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after you sold it, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but God." He lived in spiritual darkness, and he led others into it, this sorcerer. He got to experience darkness physically. How symbolic was that? It was temporary, but it occurred immediately. It was judgment for opposing God's work. An interesting note. Filled with the Spirit, Paul saw the devil's work for what it was. So many Christians miss much while walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. See, Christianity has nothing to do with the power and superstition of this world. The Spirit and the world have overcome this world. And we're going to see this again in chapter 19 at Ephesus. And then third, the conversion by the gospel. Look at verse 12. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. The power of the Spirit by the miracle and the message of the gospel by the word had a great effect on the proconsul. The display of power provided an opening for a conversion event. Sergius Paulus was saved. And by the way, something to note, in verse 9, Luke identified Saul as Paul. His Jewish name changed to a Gentile name. He was referred to as Paul for the remainder of the book of Acts, except in Paul's own testimony. Another change happened regarding the priority of names as mentioned in Acts. In verses 11, 30, 12, 25, and 13, verses 2 and 7, it is Barnabas and Saul. After this passage, it is Paul and Barnabas. In verses 13, 43, 46, 52, and Paul and his party in verse 13, 13. The only exception is verse 14, 14. What is the point? Paul now had assumed leadership of the missionary journey. There will be hindrance when we serve the Lord when the Holy Spirit leads us, but by His power, by the word of the gospel, we will have success. You have a great day.